Today on Wine Chat, we're talking about a look at one of the newer Australian wine regions, the Great Southern in Western Australia. It's one of the largest and most varied wine regions in Australia, spanning from the head of the Franklin River in the northwest through Mount Baker and the Porongor up to Albany and Denmark on the southern coastline. To guide us on our intrepid journey, we are joined, as always, by Cal Lee, our resident wine expert. Cal, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right, Cam. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You sound like you've been through it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've been through several things, but you know, it's just left foot, right foot. You know, you got to keep on trucking.
One foot in front of the other, and soon you'll have traversed the entire Great Southern wine region. Tell me about that. What's that region's like?
Yeah, so as sort of mentioned, Great Southern is the largest wine region in Australia. It's probably not going to be surprising to anyone, but it's quite far south. Basically, if you sort of think of the bottom tip of WA, sort of on the more towards the eastern side, it's a region that sort of goes from the coastline to about 100 kilometers inland and is about 300 kilometers across. So it's a pretty significant patch of dirt. But sort of in spite of that, it's only roughly around 25 square kilometers of that are actually under vine. And they're sort of split out between sort of the four major subregions, which, as we said before, is Franklin, which is at the top of the Franklin River. You've then got Mount Barker and Porongarup, which are sort of in the middle in the inland there. Surprising to no one, Mount Barker has more elevation because it's a mountain. You guys got to strap in. It's going to get pretty wild here. And then you sort of come down to Denmark, and then finally sort of the town of Albany, which is on the coast there. A lot of the pretty basic logic sort of flow through here, which is, you know, the further south you go, the more coastal influence you have, the further inland you go, you tend to get a bit more elevation there, a bit more continental influence. But because of it, sort of actually got quite a consistent climate all throughout, has soils with good fertility, you have a whole different range of elevations. And depending on your facings, you can either get quite a lot of ocean influence or very little ocean influence. It allows the greater region as a whole to pretty much grow anything they want and sort of make any wine styles they want.
Yeah, that's sort of a good lead into my next question. So what are the main grape varieties of the region? Hang on, is it varieties or varietals?
Variety is the grape, varietal is the wine.
Okay,
yeah, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, wonderful. I'll pick it up eventually. We're getting there. What are the main grape varieties of this region? What are they growing out
there? Yeah, so in terms of whites, it is, like, you still get a lot of the Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon here, which is quite popular sort of from Market River originally. But the two main whites that are sort of focused on in the region, I would say, are Riesling and Chardonnay. Riesling tends to be grown on the more inland plots, especially stuff with a bit higher elevation. Can make these really beautiful sort of mineral-focused wines that tend to be actually quite European in style and structure and very different from sort of what we see in sort of like the Clare Valley sort of style of Riesling, which is a very, like, is very famous for Australian wine, but is a very specific style of Riesling. And then in reds, you know, obviously there's Shiraz. We plant Shiraz everywhere and we grow a lot of it. But then it's the Cabernet family that I think has really found a great home there. And so in that is your Cabernets and your Merlots. There's also a little bit of sort of like Malbec and a few of those other Cabernet Franc, that kind of stuff grown there, typically blended back into other wines. But you sort of get this really, you still get that sort of like very Bordeaux-esque style of red wine making that you see in Margaret River. You still get that really great high quality Chardonnay, which I think is some of the best, it's definitely best value in Australia is coming out of Great Southern at the moment. But you can also get these like really beautiful, pristine, quite linear, tight wines in places like Mount Barker because you've got that sort of greater elevation and sort of like colder nights and all that stuff around there.
And so can you give us a little bit of a history of the region and why these grape varieties are grown there?
Yeah. The first plantings that we sort of have on records were put down in the 1850s. But that was more sort of as this was stuff that was sort of just planted on people's estates as they'd sort of colonized Western Australia. They sort of started to plant that stuff there. And the sort of commercial aspect of the wine region didn't really start until the 60s, where sort of you get a Californian viticulturalist called, I've forgotten his first name, but it's Dr. Olmo, who basically did a whole big survey of the region and was sort of like, cool, here are sort of your different soil types. Here's where I think you could do some really great vineyard work. That's when sort of the Franklin River Valley starts getting planted out. That's when like a renewed interest in Mount Barker sort of starts happening. And he's sort of, he's considered like the viticultural godfather of the region. And sort of because he was Californian, did definitely have those Californian sensibilities when it came to planting out varietals, which I think is why Cabernet and Chardonnay ended up being so much of the backbone of those original plantings out there. In the more modern era, I feel like sort of in the last 15, 20 years, if Great Southern has sort of moved from a peculiarity into a pretty well-established major wine region in Australia. And the big sort of push for the area is focusing more on the specific sub-regions that are within it, and sort of trying to push for recognition of those as actually unique climates and GIs within the greater Great Southern area. And sort of, I mean, you know, I don't live there and grow grapes there, so, you know, my opinion on this is not worth a lot. But I think there's a lot of interesting arguments to be had about sort of the benefits of being part of a greater super region versus breaking yourself down into much more specific micro regions, especially when your actual planting density is so light with the super region in total. Once you start breaking it down into those micro regions, you lose a lot of the ability to sort of be, you lose some of your strength in the marketplace because you don't sort of have that broad swath coalition that allows you to sort of move into the market and sort of ask for the things you need to ask for there.
And I suppose my last question for you, Cal, is what are the wineries to look out for in the area? If you're going to go visit down there for some wine tasting or looking to buy from wines from the region, what are some of the highlights?
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's a lot of wineries down there, like sort of scattered all over the place. Big ones for me are Franklin Estates, which is obviously at the top of the Franklin River. It's kind of, I mean, you know, that goes without saying. You get places like West Cape Howe, which I think are probably one of the larger, more established places in the region. Personal favorites for me are Brave New Wine, who are sort of taking a quite fun contemporary look at a lot of the more traditional styles of winemaking there. If you ever see, it'll be in the wine recommendation, but their Magical Animals Chardonnay is, I think, one of the great examples of how you can get incredibly high quality Chardonnay out of the region, but it's really not sort of charging for the premium price point. There's Duke's Vineyard, which obviously I've talked about a lot because I've been doing some work with them recently. The other one I'd probably want to shout out would be La Violetta, who is a pretty eclectic collection of wines, but is doing some really interesting stuff with sort of producing what I'd call like French-style bistro wines as sort of like a lot of stuff that's blended and isn't about showing varietal characteristic, and it's way more about being like, hey, this is a thing that you can sit down and drink with a meal every single day and never get sick of it, which I think is a really interesting style of winemaking that we don't do a lot of in Australia. And it's kind of nice to see someone using the fact that this region has so much variety and can kind of make, you can kind of grow anything and make any wine style out of it, to sort of be like, okay, what if we then went back to like first principles and just made French bistro wine and started to make stuff that is a little more, a little less varietally focused and a little more focused on just being stuff that's really enjoyable and approachable.
Fabulous. And I think you already touched on it a little bit, but what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking a lot of, WA Chardonnay this week is what I'm doing, mate.
Yeah, fair enough.
But no, I'm going to shout out the Magical Animals. This has been by, Brave New Wines. This has been a favorite of mine for quite a while, and I believe is out of stock at the moment, but the new release should be coming out pretty soon. I think broadly speaking, you can any of these sort of like $25 to $35 sort of dollar WA Chardonnays, you're going to get really good bang for your buck. But I think this is a great example of how even people who are sort of on that closer to that natty wine, minimal intervention spectrum are doing some really, really classy, quite elegant and sophisticated stuff without, you know, charging you an arm and a leg for it.
Fabulous. I normally say thank you very much and see you next week, but I'm not sure if we're going to see you next week. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm down at university next week, team. So depending on whether or not I'm still in a chemistry exam at that time, will determine whether or not I'm on air. But yeah, watch this space. But you know, if not, I will definitely be back in the following week, and we'll I'll probably actually do a little report back on some of the stuff I was covering down in university. I think it'll be a fun sort of, hey, this is what learning to become a winemaker actually looks like kind of thing.
Fabulous. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we see you next week. But if not, all the best for your learning, and we'll see you for the following week.
Thanks very much, Cam. I'll catch you around.